nurture and support. Nurture and support. This is a podcast theme song. And it's really short.
Nurture and support begins in 3, 2, 1.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome back to Nurture and Support, a recommendation podcast sharing all the awesome since 2013. I'm Kelly Toole, at K-E-L-L-Y-T-H-U-L on Twitter.
And I'm Mel, at Carmic9 on Twitter. Some days.
Every day, right?
A little bit. I'm doing better than I was.
Yeah, well, sci-fi's been nice enough to occasionally put things out here and there, which is... helps make Twitter a fun thing. Plus the Olympics. The Olympics are always a wonderful time to be on Twitter.
Yeah, to complain about NBC's commercials coverage.
Oh, it is horrific. We did stumble across the live streams of the actual events live, where you don't have these inane breakouts into this is the story of a seashell and whatever all the ridiculous things that they do to actually watch the event. Yeah. Is pretty cool. So the live streams that are available on the web are a much more enjoyable way to enjoy the games than the NBC stuff. But, so we're not recommending NBC's Olympic coverage. However,
no. We
will recommend other things. So I'll kick things off for this week. I'm going to recommend music. Shockingly enough, it's not Alice Cooper. Shockingly enough, it was recorded in 2010, so it's not even that old.
Wow.
So, kind of newer stuff. Are you familiar with a group called the Proto Men?
Nope. I don't believe so.
So, the Proto Men have... You'd love them, because... So, they're based off of Mega Man. Loosely based off the Mega Man storyline.
Mm-hmm.
With an overlay of a dystopian future. So, Mega Man meets a dystopian future. So
all the things I love.
How can you not like that? So, they released a couple albums, Act 1 and Act 2, which were the, loosely speaking, the Mega Man storyline from the old Capcom game, with a little extra dystopian fun thrown into it. And it's pretty cool stuff. It's a heavier music. It's rock. It's got some decent influences to it. They are mostly recording students from the university, Middle State, Tennessee University. I'm sorry, Middle State Tennessee University. It's where they emanated from. They're based out of Nashville now. It's a fairly local group, but you can find their stuff on Spotify. You can find a lot of their stuff on YouTube as well. And you may, at some point in the future, you may actually get a recommendation from me about Act 1 and Act 2, but that's not what we're going to talk about today. Today what we're going to talk about is the Proto Men present A Night of Queen. And so... One evening, this is a live recording, they were with, there were three groups. There was a group that was called Evil Bebos, Devin Bowie, and the Proto Men were playing together. It was the Evil Bebos farewell tour, last concert or something along those lines. Evil Bebos is a big Black Sabbath cover band. And so the Proto Men followed suit, but they did Queen. And you get, basically, this is a live set of them doing Queen songs. Until the very, very end, where Do Vendetta is the last song, and that's kind of the big ending song off of Act 1, where you get to hear all the Mega Man bosses' names mentioned, and Iceman, Rockman, all these kinds of things. So it's there. But it so Freddie Mercury is not exactly the easiest guy in the world to pull off.
Mm-hmm.
But the lead singer of Proto Men does a very, very serviceable job beyond the ultimate super high notes that Freddie would hit. While it's not a carbon copy, it's darn close. Apparently Devin Bowie, my hunch is, Devin Bowie does a little bit of covers of David Bowie, shockingly enough. He joins them for Under Pressure. So Under Pressure is one of the songs that are performed live, but they really pull out all the stops in terms of what they do. They do Flash, the themes. So first of all, I'm actually a very large Queen fan. I've always been a big fan of them. I know they're kind of a acquired taste. There are people that really either like them or dislike them. Where are you at on that, Mel?
I like them, but I'm going to say I'm not really super knowledgeable about everything to do with Queen.
Yeah, it. I'm a fan. I like kind of the whole cross sections of things. And for this particular album, they chose to do a number of songs that you better know what you're doing if you're going to try and do a cover of it, because it's not easy stuff. So Flash being one of them, which I've always had a soft spot. It's a pretty horrific movie, Flash Gordon movie, but the Queen soundtrack.
It was so bad. It was mildly entertaining.
It was strange in so many different ways, but the movie itself was strange, the way it was kind of shot, the acting, the choices on directing, and then to have the not-so-subtle Queen soundtrack rolling through the darn thing is just something. But they do Flash early in the set, and it's pretty fun. Don't Stop Me Now. Killer Queen, which another one that's not exactly easy to do. They do Bohemian Rhapsody, which, again, if you think about it, this is all live, really, really impressive. And Somebody to Love, which is one of the greatest Queen songs ever, but, again, quite the vocal workout. Proto Man kind of rolls in and out in terms of the number of players they have. Based on the cover of this album, I'd say this is probably a lineup of about 7 to 8 people going through there, and they need all those voices to pull off kind of the Queen covers. But It's really well-executed Queen songs. It's done live. It's really fun. And at the tail end of it, you get to hear Do Vendetta, so you start to get a feel that maybe if you want to go back and listen to Act 1 or Act 2, those are out there. Act 3 is coming up soon, which they're predicting does not end well for the human race. So I have a feeling the
shocking
dystopian future doesn't get any better.
Do you remember, since they did Flash, did they do another one of my favorite Queen movie music, Who Wants to Live Forever, from Highlander?
They did not do Who Wants to Live Forever from Highlander. They did Hammer to Fall and I Want It All, Under Pressure, Bohemian Rhapsody, Death on Two Legs, which is a great early Queen song, Killer Queen, I Want to Break Free, which is possibly the most enjoyable Queen video ever. It's also they did the Want to Break Free video in drag, and this is back when Freddie Mercury was supporting a very, very heavy, thick mustache that he didn't bother to shave for the, and there was a parody of some sort of British soap opera comedy that was on, and it's a great, great fun video. But it managed to kill their interest in the United States. They're dressing in dresses. I don't think I like them anymore.
It'd be perfect if they had done the one from Highlander, because, you know, I loved Highlander.
That would have been excellent. That is a great, I had totally forgotten about that. And I'm trying to figure out, One Vision was tied to a movie too, and I can't recall what movie it was featured in, but yeah, Who Wants to Live Forever, that is a great song and a great, great, Highlander itself is a great movie. So sadly, no, so that's one departure, maybe in a future one, but very well executed. They, you know, in some ways, because the Proto Men's got kind of a fun sound and they're good and heavy, it would have been interesting if they had kind of let their renditions of Queen reflect a little bit of their styling. But these are pretty much straight up, we're going to play the song as close to the original as possible, and not an easy task to do, but they do a really good job. So it's really fun. If you don't really want to mess with Spotify or iTunes or whatever else to pull it down, you're going to find them all on YouTube. Just search Proto Men and Queen, and you're going to get them. You're going to get them all, and they're pretty fun to listen to. So my recommendation this week is a fairly recent album, and it's Proto Men, Night of Queen. Proto Men Present a Night of Queen.
Yeah, that sounds like I will like that, so I'm going to have to look that one up and add it to my Spotify list. So my recommendation this week, I'm going to keep it short. I was going to talk about something else, but this is a little more timely. You've probably maybe seen me tweet about this maybe over the weekend. There is a new awesome game out called No Man's Sky. Some people love it. Some people hate it. Some people can't get it to run. I happen to be one of the lucky people that hasn't been having too many problems getting it to run on my PC. But it is also out for the consoles, the new generation. I always forget what they're called because I don't play consoles. The PS4 and the Xbox One. Is that what it's called?
Yes.
Okay. I'm a PC gamer, y'all. We've talked about this. We had to wait. We had to wait like a week to get it on PC, which it's usually the other way around. So we were very angry. However, there are a lot of PC people that are having trouble with the game not running well. But No Man's Sky is this huge, huge space exploration survival game that is procedurally generated. And if you don't know what that means, like, I had to look it up. I mean, it's kind of what it sounds like. It basically means that it uses a bunch of algorithms and math and shit to randomly generate a universe. So how the game starts is you are crashed on this randomly generated planet, and you have to repair your ship by harvesting resources. So it's all about resource management. And one of the cool things is you have a multi-tool that looks a lot like a kind of like a spacey rifle that you would expect in some sort of space combat game. But this multi-tool resource finder in it, it has a life form analyzer in it. And it also, because you're using it to mine minerals and things like that, it has a laser. So you can add other combat related things to it as well. So you have all of your weapons and tools and all of that in one nifty package. So you do get to switch between whether you're using your mining laser or you're using your bolt caster, which shoots out little beams of light, but they're very slow until you start adding on some modifiers to all of that. Because these randomly generated critters that are running around on these planets, some of them might not be very nice. Some of them might actually be predators that want to kill you. But they're all pretty cool looking. You can find some just really, really cute and neat and ugly animals. If you do YouTube searches or even just image searches for things from No Man's Sky, it's made to be just a really amazingly beautiful game, and it succeeds on that if you can get it to work. Now, they released today that they are working on a fix for a lot of the issues in PC, and for I guess the PS4 people have been having some problems as well. So hopefully that will be fixed in the next couple of days, and by the time y'all are listening to this, hopefully everything will be working great. But if you like survival games and you like exploration, and you're not really into shoot 'em ups, you'll like this game. I like all of those things. And this is the type of game that is just relaxing to me. The soundtrack they had custom done. And it's really kind of soothing in nature sounds with space, a kind of a space vibe going on. Because you're on these weird worlds that have all of this alien plant and animal life, and you go around cataloging all of these, and you get money for the animals. You don't really get money for the plants, it doesn't look like, but you will like this aspect of it, Kelly. Should you choose to embark upon this adventure, you get to name the system that you find this planet in. You get to name the planet, and all of the things that you find, you can name. So you could create an entire Game of Thrones star system, one and two. So
that would be pretty fun. Although I think the Game of Thrones one would be fun. By the way, the Pokemon Game of Thrones naming process continues to go quite well. I'm so glad there are so many characters, because that's kind of necessary.
Yeah. So this is pretty cool. There is a story to the game. It's not just about wandering around, but if that's what you want to do, no one's going to make you do anything different. There is a very slow building story that you discover as you wander around. You come across alien artifacts that will teach you a word in an alien language. And eventually you do occasionally run into alien life forms that are in different trade stations that are scattered around in the worlds that you land on. And one of the things I kind of like about it is, unlike most space games where you have some sort of universal translator and you automatically understand some some alien race, or you're all speaking, you know, what's used to be in sci-fi parlance, basic language. You don't know what they're saying. You kind of have to guess from their body language. And as you learn more of these words by visiting these monoliths and all of these little artifacts, you slowly gain the ability to sort of understand a little bit more of what they're saying to you. There are a number of different factions in this universe, and I haven't come across this issue yet because I'm a little over 20 hours into this game, but I'm still in the early stages because, as we've talked about in the past, I am a barrel kicker. I like to be complete. I like to explore everything. So I stayed on my starter planet for a really long time, basically kind of learning how to move around in the game, because like a lot of the survival games out there, they don't give you a lot of instruction. You're supposed to just sort of kind of figure some of it out, which is a thing of in the survival game in genre that I do not like. I think instructions are nice, you know, but they give you a little bit more than a lot of them I've played lately, but it's still a little bit rudimentary. There's a lot of figuring it out on your own on how to move around. You have a jetpack. Here's a tip for you. It took me forever to figure this out. If you're going to play this game and you end up in a ravine, because on my starter world, my ship crashed on this kind of pillar, this grassy pillar in the middle of this very deep valley. And I had to use my jetpack to get to the floor of the valley to be able to harvest any resources to try to fix my ship. And I hurt myself a little bit because I wasn't very good with the jetpack yet, but I got to the bottom. Well, I didn't know how to get back up again because you think the jetpack will get you back up there. It will, but there's a method to it. You can't just, you know, stand in the open and jetpack, because you'll exhaust your jetpack and you won't make it to the top, and then you fall and then you die. So the way to do it is you have to actually walk up to the wall that you're trying to scale, and then you can basically use an infinite jetpack burst to get up very steep ravines and walls and things like that. The game will tell you that if you walk straight up to the wall, but I didn't think to walk straight up to the wall.
No, you got a jetpack.
Right, I have a jetpack. Jetpacks jet. This one doesn't jet too well, but you can get modifiers to add on to it later. Also be careful about wandering into caves, because I also spent I think it ended up working out to about 2 hours of actual real time lost in a cave system. So be careful before you wander too far into a cave, y'all, because I thought I was going to die, but I made it out. So, but there's all sorts of cool, pretty things to look at in the cave. The biggest problem with games like this is you only have so much space to carry stuff around. So there's a lot of trying to fetch and decide what you need to keep and what you don't need to keep, and all of these things. As the game goes on, you come across ways to upgrade your space and even get a new ship. One of the things that if you look for No Man's Sky out there, you look for tips, one of the things people will tell you, because ships are very, very expensive. Once you get off your starter planet and you make it to a space station and you start coming into contact with other trade ships that you can offer to buy their ships, you will quickly find out that ships are very, very expensive. One way that you can try to get a ship for cheaper is to look for crashed ships on the worlds that you're on. Now, you have to fix them just like you have to fix your own ship at the very beginning. But if you're in a place that has good resources, you will have an easy time fixing a ship. Unfortunately, I haven't been able to find a ship that was better than the ship that I have that I was actually able to get the resources to fix. Because, you know, but there's this cute little pink ship in the game that I really wanted, but it doesn't have enough space. Oh, well. I really wanted a pink ship for some reason. It was just cute. It's just,
and there's no space Uber. You can't.
No, you have to have a ship. And there is space flight. I have to say, I'm doing much better at flying my ship around. I have never been very good at doing any of those flying type games ever. I've never been good at those. And you have to actually fly from planet to planet and through space to get to a space station. Every solar system has a space station so that you can go sell your stuff and things like that and come into contact with other traders. And you can manipulate the trade network to try to get more money. One of the things I didn't mention, I said that you get money for finding animals on these planets. One of your menu screens will show you how many animals there are to find. And once you get your 5 waypoints marked, which there are many more than that, but you have to get at least 5, and you complete finding all of the animals, you can upload all of that to the database and you get a lot of money for that. So that's how you're going to get your fortune started, to actually get you enough money to be able to try to go buy some stuff. But most everything in the game you can find by searching and exploring and all of that. You'll find more upgrades for your multi-tool than you're ever going to really need or know how to use, at least at this point for me. And the big thing in finding drop pods that will give you space in your exosuit, that's what your spacesuit is called, and that will give you more ability to carry more stuff. But those upgrades, you do have to pay for those. But after you get your first planet, you'll have enough money to pay for those. But just keep it in mind that that's what you're looking for. So once you get your ship fixed, you can actually fly around the world and land your ship by interesting looking structures. And yeah, it takes some getting used to look at the map. The map isn't like a typical RPG game type map. It's like a radar type thing. And it takes a little getting used to be able to navigate from it. But your multi-tools search function will highlight interesting things that you then try to go hunt down. So it's a really cool game in that everything is randomly generated. But once you discover it and upload it to the database, it's there forever. So you can name your critters that you find. I named one, my first predator that I found had an alarming similarity to Jar Jar Binks, only if Jar Jar had a tentacle legs. And it was a pest. It was just an annoying, this planet was covered in them and they were aggravating little pests. And so I named that critter Jar Jar Pestis because I wanted to just nuke the entire planet to get rid of them. So you get to do cool stuff like that. But No Man's Sky is really pretty cool in that it was made by a very small group of people. I see differing reports whether it's like 13 people or 15 people. But it's a UK developer called Hello Games. And if you're going to play on PC, just make sure that to check the specs that your PC will meet those. It's very important that you have a video card that will run OpenGL 4.5. Look it up, because you'll need to look up your video card to make sure it runs that. If you're going to try PC, if you're going to try PS4 or Xbox One, then go ahead. The biggest con for this game is it's pretty pricey. It's a $60 game. I enjoy these type of games, so it's worth that to me. I see people complaining that they're already bored with it, but I don't think they're really into these kind of exploring games. I find this relaxing, wandering around, listening to the little alien birds twittering and wandering here and there, looking for monoliths and things like that. I find it relaxing. Occasionally you get attacked randomly by some predator or sometimes by these little sentinel drones because you were harvesting some plutonium and they didn't like it. They think you're taking more than your fair share, so sometimes they will attack you. So good thing to know, if you do die, you resurrect by your ship, and there is a red and black marker, diamond marker, that hangs over your body. And if you go find your body, you can get all your stuff back. So good thing to know, because I've only died twice. So I got killed by some drones because I didn't know how to change my weapon in my multi-tool. I didn't know the key to push and it died, and I didn't know how to quickly reload it. And so I got killed. And the other time I died were those stupid little Jar Jar things. I was trying to get away from them and my game lagged and I fell off a cliff. So those are my two deaths. I think I'm doing pretty good. I haven't crashed my ship and died yet. I'm landing my ship. I'm landing my ship almost exactly where I want to land it. This is huge for me. And I never do this, but I'm actually using an Xbox controller on my PC to play this game. It's really easy to use with the controller because there's really not a lot of controls that you have to have. So the two thumbsticks on the Xbox controller make it really easy. So those are the pros for it. I think once they get this patch out, things will go a lot more smoothly, and more people will get to play the game and I think enjoy it. But if you like simulation type games, you like kind of the slow exploration, the slow unfolding of the story, because there is a story here. You're supposed to make it to the center of the galaxy, but the story kind of leads you along very slowly as you learn things from these alien monuments, and you get there really slowly if you want to. I'm on my fourth planet, so I'm a completist. I have to go find all the animals and do all of that cool stuff, so, and explore all the cool stuff.
Is there a lot of diversity in terms of the nature of the planets? Are they?
Well, that's a question that I have myself. I have not left my first system yet. I haven't warped out of my system. My system has 5 planets, and so I'm on my 4th planet because I'm a completist. I could warp out of my system, but I want to complete all of the planets in my system.
One planet left.
Yes. So I have 11 animals to find on the planet that I'm on, and I found all but 3, and I'm starting to get really worried that those are aquatic. And I finally did get an upgrade for my exosuit that makes it easier for you to, you would think with a spacesuit, you wouldn't have any problems in water, but you do. So I have an upgrade to help prolong the time I can stay underwater, but I don't think I have one of the resources and the space to install it. So I'm going to have to dump some stuff to be able to install that and go swimming around in the oceans trying to find the last 3 critters I'm looking for. So after that, I'll have 1 more planet left, and then I can leave, and then we'll find out. In this system, there has been a similarity most definitely between all of the plants, and a bit of similarity between all of the animal life as well. There are some weird ones thrown in there, but most of them have been a little bit similar. So I'm curious to see, because I've seen screenshots of other people's that don't look anything like the ones that I'm seeing. So I think that the computer system is trying to make it a little bit more where each system, there's a little bit of similarity within each system, maybe. That's just a guess on my part. So I'm hoping once I leave this one, I will have some vastly different one. The planet I'm on right now has 2 different species of flying whale-like creatures, which are actually pretty cool. I'm always trying to avoid them as I'm flying my spaceship around. I don't want to hit them. So that's No Man's Sky. I think it'll be really cool once the patch goes out for PC and more people can play it. There are already people out there modding the game. So if you are playing the game and you're enjoying it, and one of the gripes I have about it is because it's so pretty, you want to take an uncluttered screenshot without all of the controls in the way. And the only way to turn them off right now is to actually go into the game menu and have to turn them off. So that makes it really hard to get a pretty screenshot on the fly. But there's a mod out there that I'm going to try. I just found it a few minutes ago. That lets you hit a key, like most games like this do, have a hot key that you hit that and it takes the HUD away. So we'll see if I can get that to work. But hopefully that will be something they add into the game here very soon, because there's a lot of people complaining about that. When you have a game that looks this good, you want to take a pretty screenshot. So,
well, we'll need a picture of some sort of the Jar Jar Pestis for the for the blog post. I think that would be cool. That sounds like a lot of fun. I'll have to. I know I'm not in a good graphic card place for it, so we'll have to see what path I take on it. But it sounds really, really fun.
Yeah, I mean, I would be for one, since I'm playing this game with a controller, this is one that if you have a console, but I think it's only the current consoles. It's not, it won't work on Xbox 360 and the older PS, the PS3. So they didn't release it for those. So if you have a current console, this is one that me personally, a console would be fine for this one. Because I use the controller. Most PC games I can't use a controller on because I need to have all of the keyboard hotkeys and all of that. So this is working fine for me with the controller. And so I would actually even be comfortable playing this on the Xbox, which is amazing. Not that I have an Xbox. I have an Xbox 360. I have the Star Wars edition Xbox 360. So.
So jealous. Yeah,
I know. What am I supposed to do? Throw that away because there's a new one? I'm like, I'm not. It looks like R2-D2. It makes little R2 sounds. I'm not throwing that away. Get rid of it. Forget that.
Huh. That is very cool. And so we can roll right in social media recommendations. And speaking of underwater, my recommendation this week comes off of a game that you get to spend a lot of time underwater on, which is BioShock. And so there's a BioShock Twitter account, a verified BioShock Twitter account, where they spend a lot of time talking about BioShocks 1, 2, and Infinite and all those types of things. So at BioShock on Twitter, kind of ties in a little bit, kind of sort of with your recommendation, but it's a good follow.
Cool. BioShock. I haven't played through all of the BioShock games, but I love the artwork from BioShock. Some of the most pretty games I've seen.
It's pretty. It's got that kind of art deco kind of dystopian thing going again. And some of the creepiest things you're ever going to run into as well. And the sound in that game as you're walking down a hall and you hear, okay, there is like really bad trouble somewhere around here. And I got this guy muttering, I can't see him. When he shows up, it's going to be bad. And you just can't quite pin it down where they're at till they show up.
Yeah.
And, lots of startling moments in BioShock, but a beautiful game.
Yeah. So I have a social media this week too. It's not game related, but it is space related. And this is a new Twitter account that just joined in July, but they already have over 4,500 followers. And I love this account. Unfortunately, it's a little profane, so I'm not going to read any of their tweets, but it's called Swear Trek. It's at Swear, SWEAR _ Trek, TREK. So it basically puts a bunch of F-bombs to cartoon images from Star Trek. I don't know where these cartoons came from. Was there a cartoon of Star Trek at some point?
There was a Saturday morning.
Okay.
Kind of.
So that's probably where these
kind of a Barra drawn kind of.
Yes. So that must be where these are coming from. But their pinned tweet is, it's Monday and Uhura is back at work. And y'all need to look at it because it's my favorite thing ever. It's the first tweet I saw of theirs. I was like, yeah, I'm sold. I clicked there. So Swear Trek on Twitter is a very fun Star Trek related Twitter account that swears a lot. So check it out. It's funny.
Sounds awesome. So that'll be, and that's cheaper than me having to go out and get an Xbox One to play your game. So I think I'm going to do that follow for sure. And then I'm going to have to play around and see if I'm, you may have created the catalyst moment that gets a current generation game system in the house, but we'll see.
It's a pretty game, I'll tell you. It's very pretty, and I like it. And you want to name all of your planets. You really do.
Yeah,
and you want
to
name all those critters.
I need to do that. Excellent. Well, we'll have to name this episode at some point in time and put it out for folks to listen to. So I don't know if I have the heart to pick on Matt this week. I think I would have made some sort of connection to your Jar Jar Pests and Matt, but I think since he's been such a good guy and doing it, we'll just express great appreciation for Matt, who's now going to give you all the information on how you can connect, nurture, and support on Twitter, iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, etc. Really appreciate you folks listening and looking forward to talking to you in a couple weeks. So thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
You can contact us on our website, nurtureandsupport.net, or email us at nurtandsup@gmail.com. That's nurtandsupp@gmail.com. Or tweet us at nurtandsup on Twitter.
Nurturing and supporting.